Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. Hope you're hanging in there. These are difficult times. Did you get caught up in the flooding yesterday, Jeffrey?
Not, like, other than just driving home. You know what I mean? Like there
wasn't some, you didn't have to brave a lake?
I mean, there were definitely spots where, like, you had to cross traffic to, like, make sure.
Right, you had to go a little more to the left to, yeah, whatever, to make sure you weren't swept away.
But nothing to the extent of, like, I mean, Josephine's daycare was delayed, and so because of that, I had to coordinate with my mom. And so my mom basically handled it, but that was it.
I handled the drive.
Well, and walking the dog yesterday
was
perilous. Miserable.
It was perilous yesterday. I'll be honest. We've had some pee in the house. We've had some pee in the house. I hate to say it. So everything's stressful. And then the market. Oh, my God. We're down this month. We're down another. The market is down another base, not quite 3% today, which means in the last month. Down 9%.
What a tremendous opportunity, Jeff, to reinvest in America.
What a tremendous opportunity to reinvest in America. I just don't think anyone who has 10,000 in the market when they went to the polls voted to have 9,000 in the market instead. That's not my view of what anyone wanted or for the prices of literally everything to go up. But we shall see and hope for the best. And the weather's going to hang around too, Jeffrey.
Super.
And here's the thing. Today on the radio show, by the way, we got Jason Smith in the next segment, and then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We do, of course, have a lot to talk about. We haven't talked barely anything about what should be a tremendous Final Four. I heard you talking about it yesterday on your show, but we've had so many other things. Women's Final Four begins tonight, and then the men's Final Four tomorrow in San Antonio, and it should be absolutely epic. So we may get to that as well in some other sports news. But I find that I was so happy that the Grizzlies got the win last night. So delighted. And just to take some of the pressure off for Isolo to get his first win, they've been competitive. They clearly haven't thrown in the towel. And so you just want them to get some reward for that. And plus, of course, you look at the standings. By the way, right now,
back in sixth. Don't stop them now.
It's probably because just the way the tiebreakers
break,
right? Because now you're tied with just Minnesota.
I do think this is true. I think if they were to win out, they would remain. Oh, yeah, because they beat Minnesota. Yeah.
Right now, you're still in a tie for sixth as you were yesterday. It's just then, because Minnesota won and the Grizzlies won and the Clippers didn't play, you're now only tied with Minnesota, and you have the tiebreaker over Minnesota. And so that is the way it is.
By the way, technically it's not a three. Yesterday it was a three-way tie. today it is a two-way tie, and
right,
you
and
have
so
the head-to-head.
And you have the head-to-head. Grizzlies, by the way, can also still get the 50 wins. How about that? They'd have to sweep, but they can. So I was so thrilled, gripping fashion, the way that unfolded. Really gripping. Dogs were worried about me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I was behaving. And then and the Jazz stuff was whatever. You know, we the NBA had weighed in and said, you know, just warning that it wasn't whatever. And then honestly, well, but then I wake up this morning, and oh, it's all anyone's talking about again. And so I'm gonna get, and including some things that actually make me a little worried. And so I'm feeling more stressed than I should about what was a great night. So what I want to do is first, let's just celebrate the win first, Jeffrey. And then after that, we can discuss, you know, the gun stuff, the finger stuff, the whatever you want. But let's fire up the old highlights and revel in the win. These are all second half highlights. Jeffrey, just take us right through and up to, but not including, the game winner.
Jackson deflected it. Edie picks it up, gives for Bane. Bane gets by. Hero to the window, lays it up and in. Grizzlies lead 51-50. Good interior defense. Jackson created that steal. And then the Grizzlies get the fast break. Desmond Bane gets the bucket. Jaren Jackson gets the assist. 14 assists now for the Grizzlies. Bane drives, finds Morant. Right corner three, ring it up. Put three on the board. Morant created the steal. The outlet pass was almost taken back. But then Desmond Bane finds an open Ja Morant, who now has 6 points. And the Grizzlies lead 56-52. Offensive rebound to Jackson. Gives for Morant. He hangs, goes up and under, and lays it up and in with the left hand. Ja Morant with 10 in the quarter. Jaren Jackson Jr. picks up the assist. Hands it off Pippen. Straight away three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. The quick release from Scottie Pippen Jr. Grizzlies go up 8-70-62. And Eric Spoelstra has seen enough. Finds Wells left wing, drives to the baseline, running right-hand floater from six, dances on the iron a couple of times and falls into the bucket. Nice little runner for Jalen Wells, who's in double figures with 10. Now four of the five starters for the Grizzlies in double figures. Morant walks into a three, ring it up, put three on the board. Ja Morant has 22, 19 of them in the second half. As he points to the bench, his third three of the night, 14-29 for the Grizzlies. Morant had a great start to the quarter. He had 10 points in about 5 minutes. He comes in the lane, draws contact, floats it up, gets the bucket, and he'll get one more. Ja Morant with 12 in the quarter, looking for 13. And he'll go to the line with one single free throw to try to put the Grizzlies up by two. Pippen around an Edie screen at the foul line, jumps into the right corner for Wells, launches a three to answer. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Rattled in and out, went in. Jalen Wells, second triple, 13th for the Grizzlies. They cut the lead back to one, 90-89. Kennard, left side of the floor, gives for Bane. Bane drives again into the paint. Out to Aldama, open right wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Timeout, Eric Spoelstra. 103-99, Grizzlies by four after the Aldama triple. Here's Morant on the logo. Top of the arc. Screen on his right from Pippen. Picked up on a switch by Hero. Morant beats Hero to the rim. Two-handed jam for Ja Morant. Ja Morant with 28. Double team comes, kicks to Pippen. Pippen to the right corner. Jackson, three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Great spacing by the Grizz. The double team came to Morant. He found Pippen, who immediately found Jackson in the right corner.
It was a hell of a game. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Tyler Hero was immense for the Heat. Scottie Pippen Jr., absolutely critical for the Grizzlies. He ended up with 17. And then, and Morant, after a bit of a slow start, was again, once again, locked in and sensational. It was the two offensive rebounds that he two one is a tip in and one a put back, sailing through the lane for the dunk. Like, he was unbelievable.
When it looked like they could not get organized at all, like the last possessions were terrible, and then he's like, oh, that's a good possession.
But so Ja goes in for what would have been a bucket to put it away, and Bam Adebayo comes over from the weak side.
I mean, unbelievable play.
It was an unbelievable play. And so that gives the Heat the chance to tie. And so it's on this day when Ja Morant has been the focus of discussion around the league yet again. It's in his hands. And this happened.
3 seconds, Morant into the paint, steps in, steps back, fade away at the buzzer. It rattles around and goes down. Ja Morant will send the Grizzlies off to Detroit with a last-second victory. It hung on the iron, bounced twice, and fell in the bucket. Morant wins it for the Grizzlies.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to go in. The right side of the rim, I did not think it was going to fall.
I still don't know how it went in, because even when they showed the behind-the-glass angle, like, that thing was right of center.
Right.
And then it just kind of like spun left. I did think those were some NCAA tournament soft rims.
The rims were
very, very forgiving.
Forgiving. So the Grizz got a massive, massive win. And I was just, put an end to this misery. Again, elevate them back into sixth place and give them some sense that they're really competitive play is worth something. Like, in the end, it's great that you gave the Warriors all they wanted, but you do, in the end, have to extract wins. The reason that I took any meaning from the Warriors' loss was that I hoped it would lead, because the way they were playing, as competitive as they were playing, there's no moral victory, but there are losses where you've clearly quit, and there's losses where you've clearly not. And they very clearly had not. Against the Warriors, and so the hope was that they could, this would ultimately produce wins, and that's great, but ultimately you have to get the wins, not just for the standings, but also to believe in each other, to believe in the new coach, all of that. So Tomas Isolo talked after the game. Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian, when this road trip became obviously as significant as it is, the Daily Memphian decided to send Drew Hill to Miami, and I think onward to Detroit next as well. And so he was there with Isolo when the game was over. Here was that exchange.
Just how big was getting a win tonight for this team's psyche overall, and what's it feel like to get your first win as a head coach?
It is really important for our team. Like, guys have been working extremely hard. We talked about it pregame right here. Everybody that's been around has just, done everything in order to get this first win, and hopefully one of many in this season. And feels great. And to do it in that type of style in a defensive battle where both teams throwing punches throughout the second half, and then to come out victorious on an amazing shot by Ja. That's a special way to get a win.
How did they celebrate you in your first win? Did anybody congratulate you? What was it like in the locker room after?
I believe they were concerned about my recovery, so I got a cold plunge right away to start the process.
So he gets a cold plunge. Team's happy. Coach is happy. Ja's happy. Everybody's happy. Whew! What'd you think of the game, Jeffrey? What'd you think of the shot? Let's focus on that.
I mean, obviously, John in the second half was incredible.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he goes for 27, and it wasn't just like 27. It was tough shots. It was everything that they needed him to be. I mean, there is kind of the element of, you and I have talked about how we as fans can change the standard and whatnot. Like, I did find myself going, like, why does this feel like a big win? This is a team that's 7 games below 500. It's like, yes, I know the Heat had won 6 straight. They'd beaten Boston. It was like the second night of a back-to-back. This is a team they smoked by 40. But it did feel big. Like, I don't know.
I had two reasons. One is just, you needed the win. You could have been playing Charlotte last
night.
It didn't matter. That's true. And then B, the Heat are as had won 6 straight and just beaten Boston. Like, they're not the same Heat that were here. And they were at home. So I think on all sorts of fronts, it was a needed and impressive win. It's not, if you're saying this is not the Oklahoma City beating the Cavs, it's just not.
Right.
Like, that's not where this team is now. You know, I've adjusted to where they are, which is trying to get to six.
Correct.
Right.
Like it
and
is.
So
it's, but I'm saying like that the mental gymnastics will do. Right. I think is nothing short of impressive because I agree.
I didn't think it was hard to be excited about last night's win if you were a Grizzlies fan. Massive win in the end because of all of the circumstances. And then honestly, in terms of the gun stuff, which I guess we have to talk about, I'll tell you, I kind of had put it aside because, you know, on this show yesterday, we talked about how we thought it was a big nothing burger and there's no real rule as far as we can tell. About, like, you can find a million NBA players doing gun stuff with their fingers. And then the NBA said, warning, whatever else. And then, honestly, they showed between games, after the Grizzlies game, they showed a highlight package of, did you see this?
Yes, after the Grizzlies game ended and before the Lakers.
Yeah. And they showed the highlight, and literally every highlight.
There was a gun pun.
There was a gun pun.
Yep.
Like on the when Ja got the putback, it was like Ja with a recoil.
Yeah.
And, you know, literally every single reference was a gun pun right up to the winner, which was Shaq said the kill shot.
Yeah.
Like literally there were 36 gun puns in this highlight package. And so I'm like, well, everyone's having fun. Like they're just having fun with this now. Like if this was a big deal, they wouldn't be joking about it, right? Like they don't joke about, you know, if there's assault allegations about a player, they're not telling assault jokes, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's so very clearly everyone just thought this was hilarious.
Yeah, they don't talk about which bridge, the Charlotte Bridge is like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're making
didn't hit they're, one.
They're,
yeah.
Yeah, right. They're not. Yeah, right. Exactly. Really abused him on that one. Ha ha. You know, no, they're not doing that. So if it was serious.
With a beat down.
But yeah, if it was serious, they wouldn't be joking about it.
Correct.
So I was like, fine. This is all fine. It's no big deal. Ja being Ja. He's going to use this as fuel. Which he very clearly did. He heard the boos, all of that. We're just going to have to embrace the villainous Ja, right? And
talk about mental gymnastics.
Your mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
It used to be the, we love Ja because it's pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, we love Ja because he's the villain. Yeah. Like it's,
he's playing well.
There's some mental gymnastics there. Okay. So then the first time, though, I began to wonder. I intended to go for a run, weirdly enough, after the game. I went about three steps and said, you know, that's not happening. And I went for a walk instead. But I listened to the Isolo post game and it was great. We played a little bit of it, his first win, all of that. But then there was this weird, someone asked about, tell me if you can make sense of this question and answer.
And I'm sure you know that he's heard his name a lot the last couple of days with the gesture between him and Buddy and all that the other night. How much does Ja wear that criticism on his shoulder still and turn it into fuel at the right times for you guys?
We played a good game in the first half, but in the second half I thought we did a lot better. Like in the first half, we had a little bit sluggish start, but after that, all of the guys played much better, and in the end, it was a great team win.
What the hell? I was like, I wondered if they'd edited out the answer. He wasn't answering that question. The question is, how does Ja wear this on his, you know, the chip on his shoulder and use it as fuel and whatever else? And he's like, we played a pretty mediocre first half, and we were much better in the second. What? How was that answer an answer to the question?
Jeff, we played a pretty sluggish first half, and second half was really great to watch, and just happy for the team.
What was happening there?
I mean, I do think the question, because that's obviously from either a league reporter or whatnot. Like that was obviously not from a local.
But, like, why did he didn't say, yeah, Ja uses it as fuel and he motivates him. And we, like, there was the answer. Well, the question was about Ja. The answer was not about Ja.
I think clearly the answer is they
didn't want to say anything about
correct.
It.
Correct. They wanted to bring no attention to
they
it.
They did not want to. He did not want, he, except for his basketball exploits.
Right.
They just made the, we are not discussing.
We're not talking about this. Yeah.
And he didn't say, I'm not talking about it. He right. just made it very clear, I'm not talking about it. That actually made me perk up a little bit. Like,
no, if you were reading a transcript, you're like, oh, they must have missed something.
Missed something. Yeah. The transcriber sneezed right. in the midst
yes,
of this answer.
Exactly.
She didn't, there was another question
right.
in the middle
there. The microphone
there.
Went out or something. Like,
so I'm like, well, maybe there's maybe this is much more sensitive than and really is sort of a thing. So then on Unsportsmanlike, now, mind you, we're about to hear from Chris Canty. And Chris Canty, he wanted Ja suspended yesterday, right? Like before he did what's happening now.
I'm trying to figure. Okay, yeah, hang on. I give me 2 seconds. I can
okay,
grab that
fine.
One.
No,
yes.
no, that's fine. I'm sorry. It's the Unsportsmanlike.
Yes, it's the
okay.
Brad one.
So anyway, I'll set it up anyway.
I'm good.
So yesterday, they were literally ready to suspend him yesterday. And then the NBA came out and said it's a nothing burger. And so then Ja did do the gun thing again yesterday. And here's Canty.
Well, he's given a one-finger salute to the NBA league office and Adam Silver in particular. If you've been worn like this week and then you go out the very next game and do the same gesture mimicking a gun, then it's clear that Ja Morant doesn't care about what the league has to say about it. And when you put into perspective all of the different things that he's dealt with, the repeated times being caught on social media brandishing a firearm, people in his camp having laser pointers in the arena when they played against the Indiana Pacers. There's a lot of baggage that's coming along with Ja, not to mention the fight that he got into at his property with a young up-and-comer in the prep ranks basketball player. There are just so many things, so much noise around Ja, and it's clear that these are immaturity issues. And so when the NBA tells you not to do something and you go out and you do it anyway, then you open the door for potential discipline, potential suspension, and that would be at the most inopportune time for the Memphis Grizzlies, who are fighting for their playoff lives in terms of being able to stay out of the play-in tournament.
All right, that's enough. That's
and
enough there. There's enough of that. You get the idea. Again, I have some stress about this. I don't know how to feel about it, really, because on the one hand, I'm thinking – I sort of, when I saw him do it last night, I sort of thought, oh, well, what happened is the NBA must have said, you can't do this at players, at the bench, right? They're not going to be outlawing.
So you immediately went to spin zone?
Well, I was trying to make sense of it. Like, I wasn't even spinning in his favor. I was literally trying to make sense in my mind okay. of why he did it and how this would, whatever. And I'm like, oh, maybe the warning was.
You, no, not at players.
You
okay.
can't do it at someone as if you're right. You can, but like if you hit a three and fire a gun in the air like you're a little whatever, like you know, like a million players have done, and I sort of thought that might have made sense because are they really gonna ban? Like you can't have a rule that everybody else in the NBA can do this, but Ja can't because Ja did this off court stuff. That just to me doesn't fly. If I understand how it might be perceived differently,
yeah,
but you can't say everybody gets to do spike the ball, but this guy can't spike the ball. You can't do that or whatever. Like you can't. So you can't say everybody gets to make gun celebrations. So I'm thinking that must have been the way that this is why Ja is doing this again is because he's not doing it at anyone in particular, and that must have been the warning. And so this is all, once again, much ado about nothing. But then I listened to Windhorst this morning. And, like, Windhorst is, he's not the voice of the NBA, but he's kind of an institutional guy, don't you think? Like,
I don't think, though, there are some people that are, like, card-carrying members for the NBA office.
Yeah, I
don't
I do mean not, that.
I think,
but I think he is.
But I think he's very
I think
informed.
He's plugged into what
yes.
they're thinking, is what I'm saying. I don't think he's like...
But I don't think he's
like
the water carrier.
No,
but yes.
But I think
he's aware, I think. That's fair to say.
And so then he said this.
You can have a debate and discussion about whether the NBA should be legislating hand gestures. What this is about Ja Morant sticking his finger in the eye of the league office, which is he heard what they said. They said, don't do it again. He did it 4 minutes into the game. In a situation, by the way, where his team had lost 7 out of 8 games and had completely lost traction and it had fallen to the play-in zone. He came into that game with the intent of sending a message to the league office. And that is just, I'm going to tell you something. One of the ways you can guarantee getting a reaction from the league office is by embarrassing them and trying to show them up. If you do it subtly, you can get in trouble. If you do it overtly like this, you're going to get in real trouble. And if you've got a history of Ja Morant of listening to the league office, telling Adam Silver something straight to his face, and then doing the opposite a few minutes later, that's not going to be well received. And it is exactly the opposite of what the Grizzlies need when they're under so much stress right now, having a coaching change, having a losing streak, dealing with the pressure of all this playoff situations, and having a great moment where the Heat had won 6 games in a row. They go into Miami and get a great win. And now this is what the league and the team is now waiting for, not who they're playing next, but what there's going to be in the sort of adjudication from this.
So I want to say that I hate this. I hate this. It was a great win last night.
I mean, I think everything Windor said was pretty fair, right?
I know, but I hate that we are here.
Yeah.
I hate that we are here because we should just be reveling in the fact that the Grizzlies snapped out of it, got the W, Ja was sensational. Like, it was, on national TV, people were reminded of the greatness of Ja. Like, it was awesome. And so I just hate that this is what we have to be talking about. And I have to think that the Grizzlies hate it too. The Grizzlies organization hates it too. And honestly, I can't even believe that Jaren or Dez particularly like it, right? Like, and so what Windor said is that the Grizzlies are now awaiting adjudication.
And he didn't even say like,
he was pretty
definitive on that. Yes.
They are awaiting adjudication. I think the NBA is in a really hard spot here because, as I said, what are they saying? If they let's just say, like, I thought the suspension was ridiculous and not even in the thing that was to be contemplated yesterday, right? Didn't think it crossed the NBA's mind, would have been absurd, right? Do I think now they might be contemplating a suspension? I think they might be contemplating a suspension, partly because I just heard Windhorst tell me that, but also because, but what are they saying? If they do it, are they saying, how can you suspend Ja for what he did last night when everybody does the equivalent? How can you do it? Because I said, you don't do that, but why'd you only tell me not to do that when everybody else can do it? I think they're in a hard spot. And yet, if they told him, and I think some of this comes down to what they told him. If they literally told him, do not make gun gestures, and he made a gun gesture, then it's like if you're a parent and you tell your kids, if you bring home D's, you're gonna be grounded. If you bring home a D, you're gonna be grounded.
But Dad, D's get degrees.
And then but it turns out that it's prom night or whatever. You bring home your D, and it's the last weekend of the baseball season, and you're gonna. You said I told you if you got a D, you'd be grounded. So, is your discipline worth anything? How can you possibly retain credibility as a league if you told him that and then didn't follow through on it? I think the league is in a really hard place. It does, to me, come down very much on what they told him. If they told him, do not make a gun, finger gun thing, whatever, do not make a gun, and or you will be suspended, and he did it, then he has to be suspended.
Yeah, I mean, my...
But how can you do it? Go ahead, anyway. Yeah, how do you parse this?
Like, my fear is, why did Ja Morant get suspended 25 games? Like, people can do they can spin zone it all they want. But the reality is, Ja Morant got suspended 25 games because Silver brought him into the office. They said, don't do this again.
Right.
And he did it again.
Right.
And that was why 25 games. And
right.
But that
is true. But that is something that you, that the core punished, the thing that he did is something that if anyone did it would be deemed unacceptable.
Yes.
Whereas, so saying don't do that again when the underlying thing is an offense against the NBA and we all recognize it and anyone would get punished for it, that's very different than saying, hey, don't high five.
Sure.
And so you high five again and
I understand
and it's like I understand when everybody else is high fiving.
Right,
how
your
can
point
you
is
say
the,
that?
The magnitude is clearly different and I totally agree with you. I think the other question I would have is like how serious of an issue does the NBA think this is?
And are they then willing to
do like, the old precedent?
Like
move.
Literally tomorrow, someone's going to make a gun gesture.
Yeah.
Are they going to be suspended, or is it just the rule that applied to Ja?
Or what if they're just saying, "Hey, we don't like this. Is now getting out of hand. We're going to make a statement, and if you suspend Ja, you can suspend anyone." But I'm with you. How can you just? There has to be like some type of league-wide mandate of don't do this. Like there has to be some rule. Like
if there's not a league-wide mandate of don't do this, I don't know how the hell you can suspend him for doing something that everyone else does.
Does Silver have the unilateral power like
well, that's
Goodell does?
If they suspended him for this, I would think you would. I don't know what the grievance. I would think you would grieve it.
I think the players
and you would grieve it and would say you can't suspend someone for doing that, and they'd literally bring up, you know.
The file footage of every
player. There's LeBron doing it. There's Steph doing it. You can find literally every single player in the league, prominent player in the league, doing it. So how can you have rules that just apply to Ja? Do you what? I'll be honest. When the game ended, I wasn't concerned about this at all, even though I saw him do it. But then the way that everyone is talking about this, particularly Windhorst, and then honestly, it started with Isolo just totally 100% like.
Jeff, we had a very sluggish start.
What in the
very
world?
Very good second half.
What in the world?
God, you nailed it. He's unflappable.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even hesitate. Like just everything was cool, calm, collected. Boom, moving on.
So what do you think is going to happen? Do you have another Stern talking to with him?
I don't know. See, because I felt pretty confident they were definitely not going to suspend him.
Last time. We knew that. Yes.
Do you just go fine this time, and then you give another Stern warning?
That's good because there is another step here.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
I think it partly comes back to what they said to him. If they said don't do gun gestures, or maybe they said what I was hoping that they said don't do gun gestures at people.
It doesn't seem that it seems it seems that it was don't do gun gestures.
But
this is an important lesson for parents out there. If you want kids to do something, tell them what you don't want them to do. They'll do that.
And then with all due respect, like I was going back and forth with a listener yesterday who believe that it's ridiculous that Ja did it. It's just ridiculous.
This is the problem with it. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Because honestly, I had a different reaction than you when we were watching it. My reaction was, really?
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous. Why the hell did he have to do it?
Yeah, but like you said like, well, maybe it's like just don't do it to the team. My first thing was, are you serious?
No, I agree. I am too. But then I was trying to make sense of, well,
oh,
is there
even,
some
oh,
explanation
I didn't
for
even do that spin.
Why
I
he
just,
did it?
I just,
no, mine was 100%. What? What the hell? Why in the world? Unless you're just trying to make things... Like people can say Ja's the victim, and...
So Drew weighs in with another good fact.
What?
Drew says, a point everyone seems to be missing here. Ja's been doing the celebration all season.
Right.
So if the league told him don't do it, then why didn't they tell him to do it in, like, January? I think that's a fair question.
I think that's fair, too. Yeah, I mean, that's all the... Yeah. All of a sudden, because Draymond Green complained about it? Or because he did it at somebody? But if they told... Here's the question, though. We believe they did tell him not to do it, right?
Yes, I believe they said yesterday. I mean, that was kind of in the release.
Right.
They received warnings
or whatever.
Some of
that's a little bit like you've been speeding all... I speed all the time, officer. Why are you just pulling me over now? I think we can all agree. It is... I do think Ja at this point, people are looking for things to rip Ja for. So in that way, he's the victim. But like, Ja did this to himself last night. Like, he did it. He did it. He 100% did it to himself. And all of this stuff, people didn't just wake up one morning and decide to make Ja controversial. Ja was literally the most beloved new hot player in the league. That's why Nike gave him all the money, not because he was polarizing, but because he was mesmerizing. And so the only thing that has happened to change Ja's reputation or to make him the victim is the things that he has done himself.
Agreed.
And that includes last night. So I'm with you 100% when I saw it. I'm like, really? 100%. And then I sort of said, well, maybe they just told him not to do it at someone. Because otherwise it makes no sense that he did it again.
But I'm
operating in a world of rationality. If someone told me if I don't do it again, I wouldn't do it again. And so he is operating in a place of F you.
Yeah, and then the other aspect of it for me is like, he did play really well after that.
He was awesome.
Like, it's like, I'm sitting here having to balance. Like, what do I actually want? I want the Grizzlies to win. Like,
but they won't win if he's sitting on the sidelines in Detroit.
I know.
I don't know, but this is my point. Drew's point is sort of my point. How can you suspend him for something that the NBA has no rule against, that everybody else does, and as Drew adds, that he's been doing all season?
Well, and also it's like, are we going to start legislating to degrees of gun celebrations?
Right.
When Steph holsters the threes.
Right. That's a gun.
That's a gun.
So unless I don't see how you can suspend him for doing something that everybody else is allowed to do. Even if you told him not to do it. I don't see how you get to tell him not to do it.
I mean,
I think the difference is, what did the league say? The league said this. It wasn't violent.
Yeah.
It was not done out of violence. It was done out of celebration, right?
Yes.
And so I think the argument is last night's was also done out of celebration. It wasn't an F you to the league. It was doing what he does, which is out of celebration and not out of violence.
I'm going to take your official word. Was that a celebration? I like the tagline.
I don't know.
This was not out of violence. This
is
done in celebration.
I can't believe we're talking about this ridiculousness. Oh, my God. Here we are again. Big win for the Grizzlies. They were much better in the second half. Let's play that again. Let's listen to this. Let's listen to this wonderful exchange where Isolo is asked directly about Ja Morant and Slippery Devil. This is what we get.
And you, I'm sure you know that he's heard his name a lot the last couple of days with the gesture between him and Buddy and all that the other night. How much does Ja wear that criticism on his shoulder still and turn it into fuel at the right times for you guys?
We played a good game in the first half, but in the second half, I thought we did a lot better. Like in the first half, we had a little bit sluggish start, but after that, all of the guys played much better, and in the end, it was a great team win.
Great team win, Jeff.
All right.
I was waiting for him to go full Sammy Sosa.
We're gonna take a break, come back, talk to Jason Smith, then Chris Arrington. It's Jeff Gawkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that?
I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. And I'm particularly glad Jason can join me here because I'm just having a hard time with this, Jason. I was enjoying the victory, really thrilled with the victory last night. It was great for everybody. Great to see Ja's greatness. Great for the interim head coach to get a W. And then I start seeing what everyone's talking about. And Windhorst says that the Grizzlies are now awaiting disposition from the NBA because Ja did the gun thing again. But I don't know how the hell you can suspend a guy for doing something that everybody does, even if you told him not to do it. How can you, in fact, even tell him not to do it if he's been doing it all year and everybody does it? I think they're in a hard spot. Is this something that I didn't take it seriously after the Golden State game, the possibility of a suspension. Now I just don't know what to think. What do you think?
Well, let me see if I can help.
Please.
Windy is essentially today Golden State in that game a couple of nights ago. He is telling on you. You know, we all saw it, but here's the point. He's throwing it directly on a national platform into Adam Silver's face, saying, what are you going to do with it? And my point is this on Wendy. You know, when he's making these points on Ja and talk about what he said afterwards, Wendy's like, this is a team in crisis. And 4 minutes into the game, he's doing what you warned him for. Ja Morant his way is, I don't get it. He's telling on you nationally in a way that, well, when you've got Wendy on, you've got Stephen A. talking about it on First Take now, and Wendy saying he's expecting punishment. I guess it was that on this morning, the audio you guys played must have been from...
It was from Get Up this morning.
From Get Up this... Okay. Oh, from Get Up. See, I'd missed that clip. I was listening to him on First Take. But the point is, here he is, 4 minutes into the game doing it. Ja is challenging Adam Silver in the sense that you just warned him. And not just warned him, you said this is inappropriate. Now, here's the problem for the NBA, and frankly, it's... There's no need to yell at Ja anymore and be like, come on, Ja, and get it if you're us, as far as I'm concerned. Right now, this is all on Adam Silver. What are you going to do about it? Because as Jeffrey touched on, I said it yesterday, Adam has left these things open to interpretation. All of these gun gestures that, frankly, is NBA hip. He didn't want to do away with it like the NFL has done. Because he's about what? He's a commissioner that wants his players to like him. He's a commissioner that's about his players having freedom of expression. But let's be real. The gun signs are cool. The gestures are cool. They get the viral videos going. You can see them on the Instagram. The NBA loves its social media impressions. So he hasn't wanted to do away with it. But now you've got Ja Morant challenging him on a rule that, Jeff, very importantly, as you said, don't think it's in the books that you get suspended for this. But as we've seen, if the NBA thinks it's violent, go look at Isaiah Stewart's in that Indiana game, the Detroit player, in the late January one. It's not just the one walking off. It looks like, I think this one's the same game, but he did it from the huddle, too. And dude looks like he's doing it right at players. Remember, Josh, the one 4 minutes in, that's at the Grizzlies bench. It's not even at Miami. So, right. So you've come back the next day and done it, but you haven't done it in the violent way the NBA says it doesn't want it. Here's the point. Silver, again, Stephen A. is saying, y'all don't want to test him. He's going to show you a different side. Don't mistake his kindness for weakness. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said here. You put Silver in a place where he's got his national guys that cover his league saying Ja Morant's wilding out. Stephen A., I'm not going to say 180'd on Ja today, but he said, come on, bro. He said, now, is this smart when you're doing it right after you've been warned? And then you follow it up with, I don't want to, the quote is not directly to the gun gesture, I don't believe, but Ja says basically about being the villain, I don't care anymore. And so you put all that in a package on Adam Silver's desk, and it's a big old finger sign. It just is to Adam saying, challenging his handling of these gun gestures. Frankly, I mean, you know, Ja's in a position here where I'm like you, Jeff. You can't fine him in the sense that it was violent, but you can probably in the sense that you had just warned him. He comes back, and as Wendy says, does it 4 minutes.
But how can you warn someone to not?
Wendy's just like Draymond. No, the warning was don't do it in a violent way, right?
And he didn't.
We're still warning you. I mean, here's the problem, Jeff. Silver's left all these open to interpretation. I don't care what he does with Ja. It feels like he's going to have to do something because he's got his national guys telling on him. The point is that you've come out soft in this.
Right.
You've given your players the freedom to challenge you on this rule. Ja's pushing it on you. He's the one that stepped up in your. Ja is gritting on your face right now, essentially. And you've got your national guys challenging you to do something about it. That's why I think something might come down for Ja. Point is, the way this should be handled, if he was a real commissioner that wasn't as worried about his players liking him and everything else, he would ban it like the NFL does. Dude, Wesley Matthews used to do a bow and arrow. You could come up with something
right,
else.
Right.
I'm talking about the way to deal with this is the way the NFL does. Ban them across the board. Then you're not getting challenged by guys like Ja Morant who walked that line. Or have situations where, hey, this one gets pointed out and, oh, well, Ja Morant, you let him get away with it, or you punished him, but you're not punishing this guy. That can continue to happen if he doesn't do something here with Ja. He has to ban it across the board. The NFL's already done it. But is he going to be a commissioner that, you know, rubs some players the wrong way? What's LeBron going to say if he does it? See, that's been the Adam Silver so far, and that's why, in many ways, in many ways, it's been a good thing for the league. Don't get me wrong now. But in many ways, too, it's been a double-edged sword because now he's been pushed into a corner by one of his players who, again, let's be real, what can you get him on? It wasn't with violent intentions. It wasn't with malice.
He could come out then and say, there is no suspension because he did not make a gun shot with violent
intentions. It wasn't even pointed at Miami, the one I saw.
It wasn't even pointed at
the Grizzlies bench. And you know the thing, Lamar Stevens was doing it too. They were enjoying doing it. They were laughing at Silver. And I mean, I would almost.
But you can't suspend someone for embarrassing you for showing up.
Whether or not they're going to suspend him or not, I think. You know, this whole thing, Stephen A's kind of set the tone. Adam's going to show you a different side. Now, however, he's going to justify it.
Will be suspended if you had to predict?
I don't care. Probably because this is, again, being thrown in his face by his people, by his reporters that cover the league and are the main ones. So whether it's a suspension or a fine, I would argue if I'm the Grizzlies, I'd push back on a suspension. You know, I'd say, you know, at most you should be fined because there was a warning the day before. You know, I'd push back on a suspension. He shouldn't be suspended. That's the point I'm making to you. I don't care whether or not you get it. And the larger point that should be being discussed here is the way you nip it in the bud and you don't leave this up to
interpretation. I completely agree with that.
Be a strong commissioner and come down on this the way you should. College football's done it. The NFL's done it. You wouldn't even be the first. So stop being so weak.
You and I completely agree that they brought this on themselves. Like that, the NBA, yeah, completely agree.
Josh should not be the one to blame here. It's really Adam Silver allowing this to get to a point where it's out of control. You've got a player who's throwing it back in your face day after you just warned him 4 minutes in, but he's riding that line where he hasn't technically broken your rule. And so I'm with you, Jeff. Well, I mean, sure. What do you expect? What's it going to be?
We're about to see, and
he's probably going to be criticized for it one way. But that's been Adam Silver's thing, right? He is so opposite David Stern in just that way. How do you think? Let's just real quick pull back. How would David Stern have handled this as it became more and more prevalent? We went away from bow and arrows and we went to guns. Do you think he would have allowed it to continue, or you think very early on, David Stern, who wanted his guys to wear, you know, formal clothing and suit, would have shut it down?
Right.
The NFL has shut it down because it doesn't want to leave these open to interpretation. Troy Vincent said it's foolishness Y'all did this in peewee in high school. You're professionals now. That's how they. That's why they talked about shutting those gestures down, which were up 133%, apparently. It was out of control in the NFL. Remember the throat slash, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
It was taken over. They put it on the books in the NFL. Nope. We're going to get you for this. And they cut it out. And I'm telling you, what will happen is players will come up with something else. It'll eventually stop. But that has to be the next step. Again, it is. You cannot treat Ja Morant unfairly in this situation because pretty much literally your whole league does it. But Ja has put himself where he's the one walking the line and challenge you on this in the sense that you just gave him a warning, said it's inappropriate. And I feel like the only thing, because they said he didn't do it violently, but he's pointing it at Hield. Let's be real. Hield did it at him. Ja got baited in that night. Draymond was ready to tell on him. You know, that's the part of it I hate. It's like, Ja, they're going to try to get you on this. And everybody's watching you, bro. That's why the story of ESPN today is about, you know, it's you when you do it. That's why Wendy is louder today because it's about you. And you're the one with the, you know, the gun incidents. We get all that. But, again, what can you get him on? He's just like, you know, he's being a rebel. And right now, I mean, the way he's walking the line, if I was an attorney, I'd say, what you going to get my client on? You don't have anything on the books, you know?
Yeah, it's something else. Who's going to win the Final Four?
I picked Duke, so I'm going to stick with what my ESPN bracket say. That's the one I did very quickly, so I'm going to stick with it. And my gosh, I mean, you did that before you'd seen Cooper Flagg and what he was going to look like from that ankle injury, which, you know, ACC tournament he sustained. And now I feel even better about it because this kid looks like he's Superman, like he did, like that didn't even happen.
What do you make of the fact that if you know, we all year long complained that these predictive ratings were unfair to the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at who was in the Elite Eight, and they were all in the top 12 in the predictive ratings. Like, and there goes Memphis out in the first round. And do you think they're going to – it will mean that next year the predictive ratings by the committee will be taken even more seriously?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I still gotta believe that if you go 10-3 against a schedule as tough as Memphis is, you're going to be rewarded for it. But yes, I mean, we clearly saw that. You know what's born, what's come out of this is that they've been on. I mean, at the end of the year, I was ready to kind of throw Ken Palm away. It's been something I've been scrapping to since I was the beat writer, sort of the gospel. And I'm looking at it and saying this is just not giving Memphis enough respect for what it did in the first 13 games of the season. But no, they're so clearly using it. And again, in terms of the results we've gotten, it does matter. And especially those ones that, you know, just using Ken Baum, but if you're on Torvik, the ones that everyone else seems to be in a different category than you, turnover percentage, continuity, you know, those are ones that have stand out and come back to hurt you. Now, again, I'm not going to sit up here and say all this and not say the two words Tyrese Hunter. I mean, that it's different than Caleb Mills because this is the point in your season where you're actually playing some of your best ball, right, and you're going into the tournament. I mean, it's so different than that injury. I'm not changing gears or anything. I still believe Memphis should have won that game. You were up 5 at the half and you had control. They made better adjustments than you did in the second half, and Colorado State deserved to win it. But, now, Jeff, I'm with you. It makes me worry because we know Penny can't make the non-conference schedule any better than it was.
Right.
The likelihood is it's probably going to go down. Some of these teams aren't going to play anymore when they come off the books. And so, it's scary. But those are areas, again, control the controllables. You know, this turnover percentage that's been too characteristic, you've got to get it down no matter what you got to do. And hopefully P.J. Haggerty is a part of you trying to do that next year. But getting to that continuity, Jeff, at the Auburns and the Houstons, and John even mentioned it, you know, Florida's got a couple that have been there. That's going to take a minute, but hopefully Penny can keep it, you know, keep it rolling until you can get to that point. Cause that doesn't take you're not going to flip that in a year and all of a sudden you got continuity. It's going to take you 2 or 3 seasons and keeping some of these guys.
Jason, thanks so much. I'm listening 11 to 2. Appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Yep. Interesting stuff. Listen, I do think that the NBA created this for themselves and could have avoided this completely if they had clear rules on this stuff, which they very clearly don't. And so they've created this situation for themselves. I, even within that universe, though, I can still say that I think Ja was stupid to do what he did last night. you know, it was just, it was stupid and selfish. Like, if he gets suspended now, how does that, like, if that's within the realm of the possibility, and we can say that the universe shouldn't be the universe as it is, like, they should be clear and whatever else, and it would be an injustice to suspend him, whatever else. We shouldn't be talking about this today.
I agree.
You know, we should just be talking about the W. And let's be honest, like, Isola didn't want to talk about it. We know that, right?
Of course, Jeff. I mean,
they were so much better in the second half.
It was a great team win.
Yeah, it was a great team win.